Now, you talked about the change in the discursive mind, reduction of 80%. I'm so glad you gave me a number. I really appreciate that. I'm curious, though, about your physical body and how that changed or not, and how you experience your physical body now.
Yes. Well, my physical body is not strong, and some people think I must be quite weak because my body looks a bit fragile, but there's actually quite a lot of energy in it, not continuously. There are fluctuations of energy. I haven't been really ill since then. I had flu, I think it was last year, for the first time in many, many, many years. I couldn't even remember when I last had a flu. I'm not saying that necessarily physical health is always associated with spiritual realization. It is not. But I very much sense the aliveness in my body a lot of the time, because part of the sense of presence is that you are feeling that every cell is alive. The center of your attention is not in the head, it's diffused all over the body. So as I sit here, I can sense that there's an aliveness in the cells of the body. Subtle, but it's there. And so the moment you feel that you are alive, and so you inhabit the body, and then that becomes part of the state of presence, because you're present with every cell of the body. And then you look around. It's a beautiful way of not being drawn back into mind. When you dwell in your body, and then you perceive, still feeling the inner body, and this very moment it is for me, my attention isn't completely in the words. A lot of my attention is in the energy field of the body as I speak, and that's part of that beautiful stillness. And then you look around, and even as you look at something or listen to something, you still feel the aliveness. And then whatever you look at or listen to, your sense perceptions, and you realize the world also is very much alive. Everything has aliveness to it. Not just what we call living things, even so-called inanimate objects have beingness or presence. And of course, every physicist would agree, and they say that, of course, if you examined the atomic structure, even of a stone, you would see it's very much alive, just like the body, to only very small differences. And so when you perceive through the screen of mind, everything becomes dead. For many people, that's how they experience the world, lifeless, through no longer able to perceive because of the screen of mind. And then suddenly you realize everything is alive. And so that's wonderful. And so that's the main thing concerning my body, is that I sense it a lot of the time. It's there. I know it's there. Occasionally, when I sometimes tell people, when you feel an illness coming on, go more deeply into the body, be there and hold that state of being, inhabiting the body, and lie in that, sit or lie somewhere, and be completely in here in the body, and hold it for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. And there's so much aliveness suddenly that often the first signs of that illness, suddenly it's gone. It works if you catch it, when you sense the first signs of something not quite right somewhere in the body, and then become very present. You turn up the light of presence. Now, for some people that happens because they are threatened by a crisis in their lives. Maybe your very survival is threatened. And then they become They could, of course, go into despair. It's the opposite. Or they step into presence. There's always another aspect to the dreadful events that we witnessed this week in New York. I'm saying this, although perhaps some people will get angry with me when I say it. When people face death, many people in the last moments realize the truth of who they are. They separate from the mind-made self, and there's a sudden realization. And if that happened, and I'm sure it happened to quite a few people, many people there, then your life was worthwhile. It doesn't, the flowering, even if it takes a few seconds, it's there. I spoke to a man, I was staying in a cabin in the mountains a few weeks ago, and there was a big lake there. And this man had, in the winter, he'd taken his kayak out and paddled in the lake, and suddenly a gust of wind came and the kayak capsized, and freezing lake, and it took him half an hour to swim to the shore in the freezing water, and he didn't know whether he would make it. And he said that a shift happened while suddenly he could see himself there in the water. There was a disassociation from the me, and pure consciousness was there watching, and he survived. But this can happen when your life is threatened, and suddenly, there it is. And many people have reported that in near-death experiences, people who were very close to death came back or actually died. In most cases, the realization that on a deeper level, all is well. They suddenly saw from a deeper level that what was a tragedy, what was a disaster and dreadful from a conventional perspective, when they left, they stepped out of their form identity, identification with form, which was being dissolving or threatened. Suddenly they realized, it's fine, all is well. And also they realized there is no death. Beyond belief, as an alive realization. And so, in any disaster, this happens to people, this realization. And so, you can read many accounts, people who survived, and many of them experienced that. The beauty of spiritual transformation is that you don't need to wait for disaster or for death to happen. That it actually can happen now. What you die to now, this moment, is a mind-made sense of self. Identification with thought and thought structures that is the me with its story and its needs and its problems and its conflicts, and you step out of it. That's the true death.